All right, grab your notes today. Officially, here we go. Let's get started. So Faith Foundations, part 7. Today's title of today's message is Generosity. And what we've been doing is a quick review. We have been looking at the essentials in the Bible of our faith. We've broken them up into 8. We've said these are building blocks. These are things that you would want to build your faith on. They are foundational truths for every believer. And today, we're going to talk about generosity. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22, it reads this. And you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, this is not on your notes. This is extra. So you just have the reference on your notes, and then it's on the screen. So just follow along on the screens. With Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole body being joined together and rises to become a holy temple with the Lord, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what I want to point out, this is week 7 that we've read this, is that God desires to live in your life. God doesn't desire to live eons away from you. He desires to live in your life. And in him living in your life, that's the receiving him, Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we have some responsibility to dig into God's word and make sure that our life, our faith are built on some truths. Because there is a lot that's out there that you could build your life on that's not truth. Amen. The teenagers, I remember the teenage days, there were some things that you were hell-bent on the fact that that was what it was going to be and that's how it was going to be. And then you, like 3 years later, right, you get past 20 or so, 21, 22, you're like, oh, maybe that's not truth. Maybe that's not how I should live my life. Maybe mom and dad are right. And so the Bible has given us some instructions. Can I just kind of provoke you a little bit and say these aren't suggestions? These are truths that we should live our life by, and when we live our life by those truths, we find out that we're a whole lot happier, and the people around our lives are a whole lot happier. You know, because the Bible teaches, this is not from the world, but the Bible teaches the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, let's practice that one right now with a smile, joy, peace, patience, kind. I mean, those aren't suggestions, those are things we should live our lives by. So we've taught on the last couple of weeks some truths, and I'll quickly just read them to you. You can get these messages online. But the first one we said is, I believe that God is personal to my life. That is a foundational truth that everyone needs to know. God is personal to my life. The Bible says he knows the very hairs on your head, or where they used to be for some. Number two, we said this, we believe that God of the Bible is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we taught on the Trinity and the importance of the power of the Trinity. Number three, I believe the Bible is a decisive authority over what I say and do. Instagram and Facebook are not the decisive authority on what I say and what I do. Everybody in the room should say amen to that. I mean, there is some crazy stuff out there on Facebook and Instagram, like, what? Where are their mom and dad? That's how I feel now, right? I'm getting a little older. I'm staying young. Number four, we said, I believe I am who I am because of who Jesus says I am. And then we taught on who we are in Christ. Number five, I believe my faith in Jesus Christ brings the victory in my life, which is an important foundational truth as we walk out our faith. And then I believe my praise reveals that God is number one in my life. That is essential for our lives. So here in Proverbs chapter 10, 25, you see it there in your notes, it says, when the storms of life come, not if they come, but when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. I don't know about you, but for me, I want a lasting foundation. I want my life built on something that when something sneak attacks me and there's a sudden whatever takes place in my life, I don't want to be wishy-washy. I don't want the world directing whether or not I'm happy that day or not. I want my life to be founded on the truth of God's word. So today we're talking about generosity. And did you know that the Bible and Jesus taught that generosity is a distinguishing, listen to me now, generosity is a distinguishing characteristic of the kingdom of God. That when you look at Jesus' life, study Jesus' life, and you will find out that Jesus was a giver. And what he spent most of his time teaching and talking about was the receiving side of God's people, learning to receive all that God was giving. You'll get that this afternoon. God sent Jesus to the earth to spend all of his time teaching people, man, get ready to receive all that God's giving. And then in that receiving of all that God's giving, then the epistles and Paul and Peter and the others that wrote in the New Testament then talked about how you should give it away. So here we see God to his people pouring out and them receiving, and then they've been receiving so much that now it's time to give it away. In the world today, we see most people, they're experts at keeping it all to themselves. Let's go back to earlier. What are we talking about? That love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that goodness, that self-control. We got a lot of other stuff on the highway being given out. Like number one signs. You're number one. Uh-huh, yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. A lot of other emotions are being distributed out in the world besides love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. One of the foundational characteristics of God's people should be a life of generosity. Can I impress upon you that that even means in the area of finances? Meaning a dollar. $2, $3. What is God's leading? So we're going to teach a little bit about all of generosity today, and I want you to see that a foundational truth of your life is not to be stingy. I feel all the air sucking out of the room. Let's just let's smile for a minute. You know, it's going to be okay. We're talking about the Bible. I have some of my best jokes and stories prepared today because I figured a lot of people are going to be stiff. We might as well do something fun with this. Generosity. Generosity. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says this, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop." So I want to say this pastorally and theologically speaking, this is talking about the gamut of things that God has given to you, all those promises, all those blessings, and that as we give it away, he's saying that as you give it away generously, you'll receive back generously. Now, contextually, within this passage of Scripture, he's primarily talking about financial giving, but he actually is, but what I want you to know, it's all of those things. Okay? Those that plant generously will reap generously. Here's the foundational truth, number 7, that you can write down and fill in the blank. It's this: I believe my generosity opens the door to God's abundance. This is a foundational truth. My generosity opens the door to God's abundance. The next verse in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says this: "You must each make up your own mind and how much that you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need, and you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over." How many of you love leftovers? My goodness, you know, I make sure that when I order, I typically order 2 meals. Now I'm learning to dial that back a little bit, and Abby's usually watching me. But I've caught on to this coupon thing that if I bring the coupon, I can usually get 2 meals for the same price as 1 meal. Leftovers. God's intention for your life in the area of generosity is not just to bless the circumstance in the moment, we're going to look at this further, but to actually make sure your life has some good leftovers. All of God's college people are saying amen to leftovers. All the parents with a couple of children are saying amen to that too. Leftovers. So in our text today in Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus in a story. In Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus in the story about feeding the 5,000. Now here's what's important about the feeding of the 5,000. That's going to be kind of our primary text today. In the feeding of the 5,000, did you know that this is one of the only stories that's seen in all 4 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's seen in all 4 of the Gospels. Not all of the stories of the Gospels are found in all of the Gospels, but there are some. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, batting 1,000, all the Gospels. It's in there. You probably should pay attention to that story. Safe to say, like, we should get that one right. I'm going to tell it to you 4 times, right? I mean, with your kids, you feel like you need to say it a few times. God went ahead and said it 4 times. Same story, 4 times. The feeding of the 5,000, of all of the things, it's there 4 times. There's something, a lot, that's in the feeding of the 5,000 that we need. We need to catch on to what is Jesus teaching in the feeding of the 5,000. You ready? Mark chapter 6. Oh, I have to give you number 1 before I read it? Who put these notes together? All right, here we go. You twisted my arm. Number 1, learning to live a life of biblical generosity, I must, number 1, grow in my love for other people. Grow in my love for other people. If I want true biblical generosity in my life, my love for people has to grow. True generosity doesn't come from the compulsion or being forced. True generosity doesn't come from obligation or duty. True generosity doesn't come from wealth and having a big bank account. True, listen to me, true generosity comes from your heart. You'll find out in Jesus' teaching that everything boils down to all of the things around the stuff he's teaching is what's in your heart. Ma'am, sir, you find him teaching and talking, what is in your heart? True generosity starts in the heart. Whether you're making $2 an hour or you're making $200,000 in a year, true generosity starts in the heart. Meaning if you had a penny and you know somebody needed it, you could give it away and feel good about giving it away. And if you made $200,000 or whatever you make a year and you make a salary and you see somebody in need and they need a new refrigerator, you can go down and pay $1,000 for a new refrigerator. And man, you feel good because you took care of that family. You took care of that mom. You took care of those kids because God has stirred you where? Not in your pocketbook for generosity, in your heart for generosity. Watch this story now. I got that out of my system. So here we go. Mark chapter 6, verse 31, it says this, and then Jesus said, let us get away from the crowds for a while and rest. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. It was a busy day. They left by boat for a quieter place or quieter spot. But many people saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and met them when they landed. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them. Would you circle that really quick or underline it or however you want to just bring that out? He had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd, so he taught them many things. The first thing in this passage of scripture on the feeding of the 5,000, we see Jesus in all of his busyness and all of his ministry and all of the area that he's called to do with people, he was flat exhausted. Brother hadn't eaten. Hangry. Is that the term that we're using? Hangry. You know, where you just get rotten when you haven't had something to eat. The blood sugar level goes down, and all of a sudden we're like, where did the angel from heaven go? Like, they just left the room. Jesus was flat tired out, and we know from Scripture that he was as much human as you and I were. And so he was wore out, but he was setting the table for this story of feeding the 5,000, and he had his disciples with him, and he put himself off for a few minutes, even when he was hangry. That's tough. I'm just telling you right now, like, when I gotta eat, I gotta eat. Sauce, queso, whatever, I mean, just bring it. And usually it's Qdoba that we, in a pinch, we can knock it out with Qdoba. I can go back to normal operating level. My efficiencies come back to 100% once I've eaten. I'm having fun here for a moment. Jesus, in his humanity, said to his disciples, let's get away from these people and let's go for a minute and rest. And in his escaping, the people tracked him down, and he saw them. The Bible says, like sheep without a shepherd, they were lost. They had so many questions. They didn't have anything, and he could see in their heart through their eyes. He could see that they were hungry for more of what he was teaching. So he put himself aside, and his love for people prevailed. And what comes out of his love for people is a life and a teaching of generosity, of him feeding the 5,000. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I have to tell you that on this subject of generosity, this foundational truth, you can't look at your pocketbook. You got to look at your heart. And I'm telling you right now, the ills and the conditions of our society in Denver have changed dramatically in the last 3 years with the issues that we're facing in Denver, Colorado. Take Washington out of it for a second, all of you news watchers, okay? Take them out of it. Let's just talk about right here. Let's talk about our home. Things have changed. Well, and this, and you know, and that. And if they would ask me, then I would. How about when you just see a need and you see your brother or sister, you know, a person at the store that's struggling with their kids and all hell's broke loose potentially in their life and you don't know them and you just get out and help them. You just get out and there's an overflow out of your life. Listen, I love God. I spend time with God every single day. You got to be here the last couple of weeks to understand that. Like, we're spending time with God. We're preparing ourselves so that when an opportunity shows up, that out of the overflow of the goodness of God, I'm there to help people. Nope, I got things to do. Smartphone's got a smartphone. I got a calendar for my calendar. I got reminders for my reminder, you know. In church, it's easy to say amen to everything being taught, but how about on Tuesday? When your wife and the pastor's not around. I fear that we wouldn't even recognize some people. Who do these people think they are? Well, you're there, grumpy pants, so that you can be salt and light in the middle of the environment, so that you can bring the love of God in the middle of your workplace, so you can help bring down the chaos on C-470 on the way to work in the morning. Amen. Generosity starts in the heart. It doesn't start in the pocketbook. Same kind of example, different story, modern day. I had a pastor friend of mine who visited New York City and got in late and had to run and find something to eat. And he got in there and he found something. He wasn't really familiar with New York, but he found some food. New York's got some good food. You know, pretty much any turn you can walk into something amazing, right? So he got something. He headed back to the subway. He got on the subway, getting back to the hotel. Getting to the hotel, there's a lady that you could tell was destitute, and she literally asked him for his food. Pastor, right? Has food, sees a need. Nobody's around. He said it really shook him to his core. Like, this is my food. You better back up. We can do this in the morning, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll help you, but I got to eat this food that I just bought. And he said he literally had a long conversation with himself and God right there on the subway, whether or not he was going to come. You know what I mean? Like, whether or not he was going to give her the food. And he's like, I realized in that moment that I had been getting it wrong. On this subject, this foundational truth of generosity, of giving, of living the life, an outward life for the kingdom of God, he's like, I was doing it all wrong. I thought that I was supposed to just do, you know, dollars and checks all the time, and that's the way. No, generosity is every area of your life. And he said, literally shaking, he gave the food away. Oh, my. Got off on the next stop and got some food. It was fine. But we see God testing us in these opportunities, in these times. We see people on the side of the road, and some of us have grumpus faces when we see people with signs with handouts. I know I've been burned before myself, but if I've got something in the car, you know, change, or I found a dollar the other day. This really happened. I found a dollar. I'm like, oh, look at that. Praise God, an extra. You know, when the pants, you know, you hadn't had on. Like, oh, man, praise God, a dollar. Talk to me, man. You know what I mean? Like, this is about to rock some McDonald's right now on that dollar burrito. It's about to go down. I'd probably scrape up another dollar in the car and get some coffee. And so I was late getting to work, and so there was the gentleman, another gentleman I hadn't seen before, but he was there on the side of the road. And God immediately, this is the same point, immediately God reminded me of the dollar in my pocket. Now, how many days does God remind you you got a dollar burning in your pocket? And there was the guy, had a dollar in my pocket, and I think I was literally on the phone at the same time, talking to somebody, driving and talking, and I saw the guy, and God's like, you got a dollar in your pocket. Thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, I got a dollar in my pocket. And I'm talking, I pulled it out, handed it to him, and he's like, sir, thank you. He was authentic. He was genuine in his response of thank you. Listen, I want the next time for it to be $10. I want the next time for it to be $100. I'm about to blow somebody out of the room. I want the next time for it to be $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 where we can actually have an impact. Now, that one, I think it had a personal impact. But listen, I'm here. Legacy Chapel is here. It's called. It's for millions of people. We got to get this thing out. This is not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. We're here to love and take care of people. We should be living a life of generosity, not from our pocketbook, but from our heart. And some of us, we struggle with giving away just the food that we just bought or the dollar that's in our pocket, and we struggle with that. Can I tell you that there's an area of the kingdom of God where He wants to bless you and increase your life if we can just break off the stinginess? Where, Pastor? Off of our heart. Oh, if those people would just... No. Your job is to bless them and to give to them. You let God take care of the rest. I got burned one time when I gave some guys some stuff on the way into a grocery store. I was a college student traveling, and I saw him there, and we had an allowance from the team as part of this traveling team to go buy food, and man, I was going to leverage every nickel. You know what I mean? I was going to make sure, and there he was. And so I gave him some money, and then on the way, it was my food money for the trip. And I gave him some money, and I came back out, and I felt like we had an authentic conversation, and he went in and had bought some alcohol and was just over on the side now, just tearing it up, taking himself back into a stupor, and it did. It pricked me. It affected me. It challenged me, and I was like, Lord, even at a young age. And God corrected me and said, no, I'm asking you just to give. I'll take care of that, because the next person, the next person, the next person, the next person. Your love for other people is where generosity starts. You have to be willing to grow in that area. You have to see the people of our society the way that Jesus sees them. Amen. You got point number one? A lot of that was extra credit. John chapter 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see it all throughout the Bible. We think he's kidding. No, he's a giving God. Number two today, if I'm going to learn to live a life of generosity, number two today is I must invest in God's financial principles. I must invest in God's principles. I must invest in God's principles. Pastor, what do you mean by invest? You mean money? Nope, I mean yourself. What I'm primarily talking about right now, because we got to break past kind of the religiosity of this subject matter of generosity. We got to break past that and invest ourselves. You know what it's like if you've ever been in a company where they ask you to invest your whole self into the company, or if you're part of a team and the coach says, guys, I need you, ladies, I need you to invest your whole self into this team. I need you to put all of yourself into this. That's what I mean by this point right here. I need you to invest yourself into God's principles. So once our heart has been turned to God's actually wanting to do something in my life, meaning a heart issue, then it comes to the place of, well, what does God say on this subject matter? What is it that I need to learn? Well, you need to invest yourself fully. 100% invest yourself in it. Now listen, there are a couple of things you have to write quick because point number one took a long time. And you guys are listening slow again today. And I'm trying to teach as fast as I can, but my time is... So let's listen faster, all right? There's two primary reasons I believe that generosity has left our society. Number one is not going to be a shock to you. Number one, it'll be on the screens, is that we're selfish. We're a selfish society, and that inherently that comes from the sin nature that's resident within our society and within the earth today, within humanity. There it is, within humanity. And we have to allow the truth of God's word to move us from being a prideful people to a humble people. Nope, this dollar's mine. Ah! Good luck with that, buddy. It's about to rain. We kind of get all these cute little things that, you know, we think that we're going to say when we drown, when I get up there, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, and we just hit the gas and go. Investing yourself into the principles of God and saying, you know what? I'm going to remove the predisposition of things that I think on the subject of generosity, and I'm no longer going to be a selfish person. I'm going to look for opportunities to be a blessing to other people. I'm going to remove myself, make myself second place. I'm going to wake up and say, God, who do you have for me today that I can be a blessing to? Who can I give a handshake or a smile? Start with a handshake and a smile. With a warm greeting. I like high fives, right? Because that breaks right past the awkwardness. People aren't used to high fives anymore. I love them. He's in my personal space right now. I don't know if I like that. We're selfish, and it's okay. We got to be willing to face the fact that we're selfish and we don't like it, and we got our schedule and our stuff and our things, and we don't have time for this or that. I don't have time for you and time for that. I tell you what, if you need something, I'll be at church between 10 and 11:30. I could help you then. No, it's amazing that God brings these opportunities to bless people at the most inconvenient times. To stretch us and grow us. Your friends will call you to help them move at the most inconvenient time. We only have the armoire and the 7-piece sectional couch yet to move and the 87-inch TV, man, can you please come? It's like, my back, man, my back. I'm down in my back. When you know you just need to get off and go and help them and be there. Selfishness. The next one is that we're not prepared. We're not prepared financially, let me say this, we're not prepared financially to give. So in the moment where I happen to have a dollar pop in my pocket, hey, praise the Lord, right? Easy to give away. How about somebody that comes to you that needs maybe a couple hundred dollars to help them or thousands of dollars? We're not prepared to be able to do that. Can I submit to you today that if you have an hourly wage all the way up to a nice, beautiful, puffy salary with all of the trimmings and things that you would want to have in yours, that God's still asking you to be generous. He's still asking you to be prepared. God knows where you're at. God knows where your bank account's at. God knows what resources and responsibilities you have. Sometimes I think we think that we're smarter than God. The opportunity comes, we're like, well, Lord, we just did our budget, and the budget says that we have, you know, this, and there's no way, and God just keeps on bringing up the same. And you know it's true because you find yourself getting irritated. How come these people think, and God's just bringing it? God's just bringing the same opportunity right in the middle of your face. We have to be prepared to give. We have to be prepared to be generous. We have to create margin in our time and in our schedule. Mark chapter 6, 35 through 38 says this, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. So they're there now. Jesus is teaching them many things. Now, verse 35, late in the afternoon, so the day's gone long, the disciples come to him and said, Lord, this is a desolate place. It's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy themselves some food. So the disciples are like, Lord, we believe the most strategic thing that we could do right now, this is a desolate place. There's all these people. Look what you've done now, Lord. You've got to send them away and give them a chance to eat food. And what's Jesus's reply? But Jesus said, you feed them. Some of you guys have experienced that in your own life. Well, Lord, if you would just show up and you give them the whole plan, and God returns in the prayer and says, no, you do it. What? And you go back into prayer, and God's like, no, you're the one there. You do it. And Jesus replies to them, you feed them. With what, they asked? It could take a small fortune to buy food for this crowd. How much food do you have, he asked. Go find out. And they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Man, the table is being set. Jesus knew that they didn't have the food. He'd been with them all day, remember? He knew that they didn't have the food, but he's setting the table. He started out with compassion. Then he said, you go find some people in between the lines. You go find some people that have a generous heart. You find some people that have some food, and you find out, and you bring it back, and you are going to feed them. There is a miracle that's taking place right now, the miracle of feeding the 5,000. So how much food do you have? No, seriously. How much do you have? You see the circumstance that's around your life. I know for Abby and I, God's constantly bringing up to us that you have this that you can give away. You have this that you can... What around your life? What is in your hand that you could potentially... Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you taking off the selfishness and saying, you know what? Yeah, we could live without that. Or we know that we could do this and do that and make sure that we're prepared to give. And we get all bent out of shape that we're making $10.25 an hour at the Home Depot, stacking toilets and running the forklift, thinking that God can't do anything in our lives to bless other people. That's where I was at years ago. And God still said, with a $10.25 an hour, did you know we never missed a mortgage payment? Did you know we never missed the opportunity to tithe? Did you know that we never had a circumstance where we couldn't take care of our kids? It was amazing that when even with a meagle, for me at that time, $10.25 an hour for my whole family, 2 kids and my wife, that God still took care of us. Well, Lord, we just have a couple loaves and some fish. This is nothing. This can do nothing. Look at these people. That plus that does not add up to A-OK. Let's get them in line. Serve up the buff. This does not make sense. See, we get in our practical mindset when we got to go back and it's a heart issue. Are you willing to give the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? I believe the young boy that they found, because in John, I got to speed it up here. In John, they're the same story is told where the disciples come back and said, there's a boy that has some loaves and some fishes. The Bible follows that up by saying, if you would just have childlike faith. And believe me at my word that even a couple loaves and a couple fish can take care of my people, can take care of your life, can take care of the circumstance. God set that child up with a giving, generous heart to perform a miracle in his community. I'm teaching good right now. Not a lot of amens or even smiles, but I'm teaching really good right now. That we think that, you know what? When we get a billionaire in the church, that's when we're going to be able to really have an impact. I'm telling you, some of you are like, that's a good plan. I'm telling you right now, with right where we're at, right here, right now, we got to continue to do things as God leads us along the way of taking care of the people that are around us. It's a seed that unlocks the abundance of God. Your generosity unlocks the abundance of God. All that they had that day on the menu was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Punchline spoiler, Jesus fed 5,000 men, women, and children. And we discredit God's ability to take what we have in our hand, release it with a heart of generosity into his hand, and watch him multiply it. It's the same way that when you enter your job. Now, I'm getting stirred up now. It's the same way when you enter your job and you show up with a smile instead of a frown. What's my smile going to do? It's going to change the entire atmosphere of your work. It's the same thing I do when I go into a convenience store or a grocery store, and I see a bunch of grumpy people. Woo, awkward moment, you know? I step in there, what's up, guys? You know? Who is this knucklehead? I'm full of the joy of the Lord, man. Let's change this thing. We don't have to squabble and have a beef over this. What's the issue? All right, I got to keep going. You guys are doing a little better on your listening. Okay, the ABCs. The ABCs, quickly, the ABCs. God's financial principles, I got to give them to you quick. The ABCs of biblical finance, number one, is to honor God. Honor God with 10%. And you find that in the Bible. We've done whole teachings on it. I'm not going to do it today. But God says, honor me first. Bring back to me what you've been blessed with. If you just make $2 an hour, bring back 10% and let me bless the 90%. And people get all bent out of shape. They finally get their calculator out. And they start doing math with God saying, Lord, were you serious about 10%? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor me with the first fruits of all your increase. What's the verse say? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the leftovers of everything you... No, it says the best. That means the first fruits, the very beginning, the best that you have. Now listen, I love everybody, but I don't need people. And this church hasn't done this yet, so let me just say this. The best we should bring to God. We don't need people bringing the broken lawnmowers up to the church and saying, I'm going to bless you and the church with this broken lawnmower. Praise the Lord. Come on. You know what I mean? So God set it up in his system for blessing that we should honor God with the first, with the best. I feel like our friendship right now is in jeopardy. This is what the Bible teaches. The next one is prepare for the future with another 10%. You will find that the Bible teaches Proverbs 13 and 22. It says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Savings and investment should be a part of your thinking right now. If you make a little or you make a lot, you should honor God with the first 10%. You should put away the next 10%. And the last is that you should learn to live wise on the 80%. So then people go to classes and they go to financial planners and they find out, even in the world now with no Bible on the table, they're telling you the same thing. They say you should be philanthropic even from the very beginning. You should give to charities and da da. We've seen ba 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 di woo ha, and it's been in the Bible the whole time. Well, you should think about savings. You should think about passing things on to your kids, and it's been in the Bible the whole time. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And should live wisely on the rest of it. C in the ABCs, live wisely on the 80%. Proverbs 21 and 20, I love this verse. It says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. You know, that's the 18-year-old or the 20-year-old or, my goodness, in some cases, the 30 or 40-year-old where they get the paycheck and they just wipe the whole thing out and there's no conscience of leaving something as a legacy to their kids, saving up for the next thing, preparing for the opportunity to be generous to their neighbor. We should honor God. We should prepare for the future, and we should live wisely. Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 says this, and this was an issue that took place. This is one of the minor prophets. It says this, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You've put on your clothes but cannot keep it warm. Your wages disappear as though you're putting them in pockets filled with holes. What was the prophet saying to Israel? The issue was God gave them specific direction to build a temple of the Lord, to the Lord, take care of that first, and then establish their homes. They didn't do it. They thought they were smarter than God, and he comes back to him and says, you're living a life of no satisfaction, of lack of fulfillment. Stuff's draining out of the bottom of your feet because you didn't honor God first. It's in the Bible. You should go to a financial planner. But you shouldn't have to go to a financial planner to get that information. It's in the Bible. It's been there for a long, long time. We should honor God. Prepare for the future. Live wisely on the 80%. And watch God grow your life. Notice I didn't say your pocketbook. He'll do that too. But watch him grow your life. Number three, give when God speaks to give. Give when God speaks to give. You see, when your loving for others is growing and your obedience to God's financial principles are in place, you must be prepared and ready to give when God speaks to give. Now, I gave you an example of the dollar that was in my pocket. I told you about the little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes that's in our story today. But what is it in your life right now that you can be prepared with? You can strategically be prepared to bless somebody else. Our growth group, several terms back, we do growth groups here, small communities of people. We get together, we have fun, we eat food, of course, if you couldn't tell from everything I'm saying, right? We eat food, we have fun, we do outreaches together. One of the outreaches that we did, maybe this is an idea on how you can be prepared, is we got together as a growth group and we divided up a list and we did these large gallon Ziploc bags. I'm helping somebody right now. We did these large gallon Ziploc bags as a group, right? And we assigned, okay, you get chapsticks, you get tube socks, you get hand warmers, you get hard candies, and we did our research, and we put together these gift bags for the homeless. And we went downtown and gave it away to them. It's one of the most exciting things that we've done. People, 16th Street Mall, we went down there and just blessed them. And they couldn't believe, like, what? Like, they were shocked. Guys, this is living a life of generosity. How are you prepared to give when God speaks to give? If you want to see the abundance of heaven pour out onto your life, it's a heart change. It's living your life in obedience with God's principles. And it's being ready when He says it's time to give. Amen. You guys are making me want to go longer here. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:1 and 2 says this. This is Paul teaching to the Corinthian church. He said this: I really don't need to write to you about the gift for the Christians in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I've been boasting to your friends in Macedonia about you Christians in Greece who are ready to send an offering a year ago. But in fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of them to begin helping. He's specifically talking about the church community helping another church community, about being prepped and ready to give. When God speaks to give, we step up and give. Amen. Number 4 today on learning to live a life of generosity. Number 4 is trust that God will bless my giving. Trust that God will bless my giving. Not trusting in our jobs. I'm hitting the home stretch here. You ready? Everybody says amen. Thank you, Pastor. Trusting that when we give, that God will bless it. Not trusting our jobs, not trusting our retirement, but trusting God. I watch people who are dear friends of mine who lose their job and feel like their job is their savior when Jesus is their savior. If that job's gone, He'll bring you another one that's better. Maybe there was something going on there that you couldn't see, that He saved you a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of time by moving you out of that one and bringing you into another one. And you look back and you go, that's pretty awesome. You know, you kind of like, yep, saw it the whole way. You know, saw that coming the whole... No, you didn't. When we bless, when we remember to trust God, and it becomes a lifestyle that we trust God with everything that we have, you watch God abundantly, exceedingly, abundantly above everything you could hope for, dream, or imagine, the scripture says. Watch Him just through your life bless people. Remember, the whole thing in the Bible is God giving to you, you learning to receive, and then you learning to give on to the people around you. Mark 6:39 and 44, here we are at the end. Then Jesus told the crowd to sit in groups. So here we found the lunch. We found the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And then Jesus, I love Jesus. Jesus is an organized man. I love it. I'm sure that if he probably had a spreadsheet. That's just what I'm going to go with. He was an organized man. Jesus told the crowd to sit down in groups on the grassy hill or on the green grass. And then He sat the groups in 50 or 100. He was organized. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Don't miss this. He looked up towards heaven and He asked God's blessing on the food. In this instance, it was a seed. He knew, as a smart man, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is not going to feed everybody. Lord, this is an opportunity for you to show up. This is what we have to give. This is what we believe that you are going to bless and you are going to multiply. We are trusting you at your word in bringing this to you. Lord, would you bless this today in Jesus' name? Watch what happens. God's blessing on the food, breaking the loaves into pieces. He kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples to give to the people. Notice that he gave it to them to give to the people. And they all ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers, bread and fish. 5,000 men had eaten from those 5 loaves and those 2 fish. I believe the Bible doesn't tell us, and historians don't tell us, and commentaries don't tell us, and other writings and scrolls don't tell us who took home the 12 baskets. It doesn't tell us who took them home. Can I tell you who I think got to take home the 12 baskets? The boy who gave up his lunch. And his mom and dad were like, "You gotta be kidding me. I can just see him jumping. I know. I gave these guys this my lunch that you gave me, Mom. It's good, by the way. And I gave it to him. And look at all this. And he's got 12 baskets. Guys, God can take care of the 5,000 and take care of you. And we can get all stingy and bent out of shape of these are this is my fish and stick, my fish sticks and crackers. Or we can raise our hand, proverbially, in this scenario, and say, "Yeah, I got something that can help out. I can help somebody. I can make it till I get home. I can survive. Go ahead. Take these 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And what did God do? God blessed the 5,000 and sent the boy home with some serious leftovers. 12 basketfuls. So what is it today in your heart? On these 4 areas, on the subject of generosity, that you need to have some time with God and say, "Lord, I need you to help me." Maybe it's in the area of growing to love people the way that God loves people, so that you can even consider having your heart changed to be a generous person. And once that heart has been changed and you walking out those principles, man, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to give. And when you give, don't get bent out of shape if they don't use the money the way you think they should use it. We're just called to give. Kyle, you guys go ahead and come back. Let's pray here in just a moment. But I want you to be serious about it. We've spent all the other weeks, 6 weeks, talking about foundational truths, and you cannot get away from this subject of generosity and giving if you spend any time with Jesus. You spend some time with Jesus, and you'll find out real quick, he's asking you to go give, go bless, go serve, go spend your time, give somebody some money, take care of some people, give, because all that God gave, he's looking to send it right through your life.